Ever wonder how those everyday objects we use, like your phone case, are made?
Interesting.
Well, it all starts with a mold.
Oh, okay.
And today we're going to take a deep dive into mold design.
This is good.
We're going to uncover how, the tiniest decisions, on a blueprint
Yeah.
can, totally impact production costs.
I see.
We've got some excerpts here from a technical document
Okay.
that breaks down the relationship between main channels and branch
All
channels in
right.
molds and their overall costs.
Gotcha.
It's like a behind the scenes look at the hidden expenses in these really complex designs.
So it's like we're going on a quest for hidden costs.
Yeah.
I like it. What's fascinating is that mold design is this constant balancing act, right?
Yeah.
Between function and being cost effective.
Uh-huh.
You're basically trying to create a system that can handle crazy temperatures
Oh, yeah.
and like tons of pressure,
Right.
all while making sure that the molten material flows perfectly to make like a flawless product.
Yeah, it's not just like pouring something into a shape.
No, not at all.
We're talking precision engineering
Yeah.
at like a microscopic level.
Definitely.
And one of the biggest things that can like make or break the budget, no surprise,
Yeah, I've got
is material.
for sure, for sure. You might think it's all about how much material you use,
Right.
but it's really the type, particularly the steel for key parts.
Okay.
Like the gate sleeve, it's super important. The source material specifically mentions high quality steel
Okay.
for this part. Think of it like the foundation of a house, right?
Yeah.
You need strong materials to handle stress and heat over time.
So opting for like a cheaper steel might seem like a way to save money up front,
Yeah.
but it could actually cost more later on.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Studies show that molds made with high quality steel can last way longer. This reduces how often you got to replace them
Yeah.
and any costly downtime. Like it's like buying a reliable car versus one that breaks down all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm guessing the complexity of the channel design also plays a role in how much material is used.
Oh, definitely. The document points out that those intricate designs, with all the twists and turns, while they might be necessary for some products,
Yeah.
they need more material and more specialized manufacturing.
Right.
Both of those things drive up the cost.
It's kind of like a puzzle, right?
Yes.
The more pieces you have, the harder it is to put together.
Exactly. And then there's the treatments needed to make the steel last longer.
Oh, right.
Like heat treatments or special coatings. These add another layer of complexity and cost,
Yeah.
but they're essential to make sure that the mold can handle the tough conditions of production.
I see.
It's like choosing between a basic paint job on your car and like a premium rust-proofing treatment to protect it for years.
Okay, so material is a big part of it, but what about the shape of those channels?
Yeah.
Does that actually like affect how much it costs to make the mold?
Oh, the shape. Yeah, it
Yeah.
surprisingly has a big impact on processing costs. Like, take cone-shaped channels, for example.
Yeah.
They're often used for intricate designs,
Yeah.
but they need super precise angles and surface roughness.
Right.
The document even mentions a specific roughness level. Regal 1.6 as an example.
Wow. That's incredibly precise.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, like practically?
It means that the surface of the channel has got to be super smooth
Huh.
so the molten material doesn't stick
Okay.
and it releases cleanly.
Right.
This level of precision needs special equipment and expertise,
Yeah.
which just means higher manufacturing costs.
Right, of course.
Imagine polishing a surface until you can practically see your reflection.
Wow.
That's how precise we're talking.
So we've got cone-shaped channels, but there are other designs too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are all sorts of runner designs to think about.
Okay.
Like circular runners, for example.
Yeah.
They're very efficient when it comes to material flow,
Yeah.
but they can be pretty complex to manufacture.
Oh, okay.
Then you've got trapezoidal or like U-shaped runners.
Right.
They're easier to make,
Yeah.
but they might not be the best choice for everything.
Right.
It all comes down to understanding the trade-offs
Yeah.
and picking the best design for that specific product and process.
It's like choosing the right tool for the job, right?
Exactly.
Like a hammer is great for nails,
Yeah.
but not so much for sawing wood.
Exactly. And sometimes, even when you think you've got the right tools and like the perfect design, things can still go wrong.
Oh, I know that feeling. You think you've got it all figured out, and then bam, something unexpected happens.
It always happens.
Yeah.
So what are some of the common issues
Yeah.
that pop up from a bad channel design?
Yeah, what are some of those problems?
Well, the document talks about three main challenges could come from a not so great design.
Okay.
Wear,
Okay.
corrosion, and
Right.
blockages.
Okay. So let's start with wear and tear.
Okay.
These channels are constantly dealing with like molten material
Right.
flowing through them at high temperatures and pressures.
Right.
I imagine that takes a toll over time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The document points out that narrow channels,
Yeah.
even though they might seem efficient, actually increase friction and lead to like faster wear and tear.
Oh, I see.
Think of it like forcing a ton of water through a tiny pipe.
Right.
The
Yeah.
pressure and friction will eventually cause some damage.
And that damage means expensive repairs and downtime.
Right.
Okay, then there's corrosion.
Right.
It can be like a silent enemy,
Yeah.
slowly like eating away at the mold,
Yep.
and then it's not as strong as it should be.
Exactly. Corrosion can really shorten a mold's lifespan.
Wow.
Then you got to replace it earlier than you planned,
Yeah.
and you have unplanned downtime.
Right.
That can cost companies thousands of dollars or even more.
Yeah, for sure.
Using the right materials and protective coatings can help, but a well-designed channel, with smooth surfaces and good flow
Right.
is key to minimizing these problems.
So it's not just about picking the right materials. It's
Yeah.
about designing the channels so the materials don't get damaged in the first place.
That's it.
Okay, what about blockages? They
Yeah.
sound like a real pain.
Oh, blockages can be a nightmare in productions.
Oh,
They
no.
really mess up the smooth flow of material,
Okay.
which can make the final product inconsistent.
Right.
It can even damage the mold itself.
So it's not just a quality issue, it
Yeah.
can actually cause more damage to the mold,
Right.
leading to even more cost down the line.
Exactly. To prevent blockages, you really need to think about the channel size,
Yeah.
the shape, and how smooth the surface is.
Gotcha.
It's all about making sure the material flows smoothly and evenly during the whole process.
Okay. This has been really eye-opening, seeing how much goes into designing even a simple mold.
Yeah, it's pretty complex.
We've talked about materials, the shape of the channels, and like what can go wrong with a bad design. But it's not all bad news, right?
Yeah, not at all.
Good design can actually make things more efficient
Yeah.
and make the whole production process go more smoothly.
That's the goal.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And that's where things get really interesting.
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's dive into how good design can actually save money and boost profits.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back after a quick break to explore that.
Okay. So now that we've covered the basics,
Yeah.
let's look at how strategic design can actually make things more efficient and boost your bottom line.
It's funny, when I think of efficiency, I usually picture like streamlined workflows
Yeah.
or like automated processes.
Right.
I never really thought about how a mold design could impact that.
Well, it's all about optimizing the flow, right?
Okay.
Like well-designed main
Yeah.
channels, they're like the highways of the molding world.
Okay.
They make sure the mold material is delivered smoothly and consistently,
Right.
minimizing waste and reducing processing time.
So it's not just about getting the material from point A to point B.
Yeah.
It's about doing it as efficiently as possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like choosing the route with the least traffic and stoplights.
Yeah, exactly.
And remember, we were talking about the gate sleeve earlier.
Yeah.
The document really stresses using that high quality steel
Right.
specifically for that part
Okay.
because it can handle the constant stress and
Fine.
heat.
Yeah.
This means less wear and tear, which means fewer replacements,
Okay.
less downtime,
Right.
and more production time.
So spending a little more on better materials up front actually
Yeah.
pays off by keeping those production lines running.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a
Yeah.
smart investment. What about runner design?
Yeah. How does that factor into efficiency?
Think of runner design as like the choreography for the molten material.
Yeah.
It's got to flow smoothly and evenly into all the parts of the mold.
Gotcha.
When it's done right, it's like a relay race. Each runner passes the baton perfectly to the next.
And a well-choreographed relay race means a faster time, right? So in molding, that would mean
Faster cycle times, fewer defects,
okay,
and more high quality products.
So it's all about optimizing that flow
Yeah.
To get both efficiency and quality.
You got it. The document really highlights that connection between design and how well it performs.
This is all making sense now. So for someone who actually works with molds,
right,
or is thinking about investing in mold manufacturing, what's the key takeaway?
Don't underestimate good design.
Okay.
Understanding mold design, especially those main and branch channels,
right,
is crucial for controlling costs,
yeah,
optimizing production,
okay,
and getting a high quality product.
It's about seeing the big picture, right?
Yeah.
Not just focusing on individual parts, but seeing how they all work together.
It's like an engine.
Okay.
Every part has a specific job.
Yeah.
But the way those parts are designed and put together, that's what determines how well the engine runs.
Okay, so good design is crucial. What are some practical things our listeners can take away from this?
Like, right.
What should they look for when they're evaluating mold designs?
Okay, first things first, don't skimp on materials.
Right.
Mm-hmm. High quality steel, especially for those parts that go through a lot of stress, is an investment that pays off over time.
Okay, so quality over shortcuts.
Exactly. And pay attention to the complexity of the channel design.
Okay.
Simpler is often better, both for material cost and for actually making the mold.
Okay.
Remember that puzzle analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a simpler design can actually be more efficient and easier to put together.
So it's not about over-engineering things.
Right.
It's about finding that balance between simple and functional.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
If you don't understand why a design choice was made, ask for an explanation.
That's good advice.
It's your product and your money, you know.
Right.
You have a right to know why things are being done a certain way.
Speaking of questions, this deep dive has definitely made me think of some.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked a lot about traditional manufacturing.
Right.
But what about all the advancements in 3D printing? Are there new trends that are changing how molds are designed?
That's a great question. And it's something that a lot of people in the industry are looking into.
Okay.
3D printing and additive manufacturing in general are definitely opening up some new possibilities for mold design.
Okay.
Especially for rapid prototyping and creating those really complex shapes that are really hard or even impossible to make with traditional methods.
So it's like we're expanding the toolbox, right?
Yeah.
Giving designers even more options to create innovative and efficient molds.
Exactly. And this leads to another important question.
Okay.
How can we design molds that are not just efficient and high performing, but also good for the environment?
Right.
Sustainability is becoming super important in manufacturing.
Yeah, for sure.
And that includes mold design.
So we're not just talking about cutting costs and making things more efficient. We're talking about making molds that create less waste, conserve resources,
right,
and have a smaller environmental impact.
You got it. It's about taking a holistic approach to mold design, thinking about the entire life of the mold from creation to disposal.
This is really fascinating. So for our listeners out there, if this deep dive has piqued your interest, we encourage you to explore these topics further.
There's a whole world of knowledge out there.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up this part, there's one more important aspect of mold design we need to talk about.
Okay. What's that?
The impact of design choices on maintenance costs.
Oh, yes, maintenance. It's often overlooked, especially in the initial design phase.
Yeah.
But it can really come back to haunt you later on.
It's like buying a fancy car without thinking about insurance and repairs.
Exactly. The document we've been talking about, it shows how poorly designed channels can lead to more wear and tear, corrosion, and blockages.
Okay.
And these things not only mess up production, they also lead to expensive repairs and replacements.
So it's like that small leak in your roof,
right?
You keep meaning to fix.
Yeah.
It might not seem like a big deal at first, but if you ignore it,
right,
it can lead to major water damage and huge repair bills later.
And remember, in manufacturing, time is money.
Right.
Every minute a mold isn't working because of repairs means lost production and lost money.
So how can we design molds that are efficient,
Right.
but also easy to maintain?
Well, like we discussed, choosing the right materials is key.
We talked about high quality steel for the gate sleeve,
Mm.
but what about other parts of the mold?
Same idea. Choose materials that are durable, resistant to corrosion, and can handle the specific temperatures and pressures of the process.
Okay.
Think of it like choosing the right fabric for clothes.
Right.
You want something that'll last a long time
Yeah.
and won't fall apart after a few washes.
Okay. So durable materials are a must.
Yep. What else? Well, the design of the channels themselves is important too.
Okay.
We talked about avoiding super complex designs,
mm-hmm.
but there are specific design features that make them easier to maintain.
Like what?
Smooth surfaces,
okay.
Generous radii,
mm-hmm.
and easy access points for cleaning and inspection.
Okay.
Imagine designing a kitchen that's easy to clean.
Right.
Smooth countertops are much easier to wipe down than textured ones.
Yeah, for sure.
And well-placed access panels make it easy to get to those hard-to-reach spots.
So it's about designing for accessibility and ease of maintenance right from the start.
That's it.
Okay.
Just like a well-maintained house will probably last longer and hold its value, a well-maintained mold will perform consistently and last longer.
So investing in good design up front can save you a lot of trouble and money down the road.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about thinking about the whole picture when it comes to mold design.
Okay.
Considering not just the initial production costs,
mm-hmm.
but also what it'll cost to maintain it over time.
This has been really insightful.
Good, I'm glad.
We've covered so much from materials and channel design
mm-hmm.
to how those choices affect efficiency, quality, and maintenance.
It's a lot to consider.
Yeah. But I have a feeling we're just scratching the surface here.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There's always more to learn.
Always. Oh.
And on that note, we're ready to wrap up part two of our deep dive.
Okay.
But don't go anywhere.
Yes, stay tuned.
We've got one more part coming up
mm-hmm.
where we'll explore some of the really exciting advancements that are shaping the future of mold design.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into mold design.
It's been a great discussion so far.
We've covered a lot of ground,
yeah.
You know, materials, channel design,
right.
How those decisions can impact everything from costs to maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap things up,
yeah.
I'm really curious, like, what's next for this field?
Oh, that's a great question.
What exciting innovations are like shaping the future of mold design?
Well, we're seeing some amazing advancements.
Okay.
That are really pushing the boundaries of what's possible
uh-huh.
in both mold design and manufacturing.
Like what kind of advancements?
Well, think about all those potential problems we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those costly mistakes
right.
that can happen from even the tiniest design flaw.
Mm-hmm.
What if we could find and fix those issues
okay.
before we even actually build the physical mold.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
It'd be like having a crystal ball to see the future of the manufacturing process.
Well, it's not magic, but it's pretty close.
Okay.
Advanced simulation and modeling software
okay.
is allowing engineers to create like virtual prototypes of the molds
mm.
and test different designs in all sorts of conditions.
So they can like see how it would actually work.
Exactly. They can simulate the flow of the molten material,
uh-huh.
predict wear patterns.
Okay.
Even pinpoint potential points of failure.
Wow.
All within this virtual space.
So it's like a virtual test drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you actually hit the road.
That's a great way to put it.
You can see any potential problems
right.
and tweak the design to make sure it performs well and lasts a long time.
And this not only saves time and money.
Right.
By avoiding those costly reworks later.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It allows for this level of precision and optimization
mm.
that just wasn't possible before. With traditional methods.
We're talking about molds that are not just efficient and high performing, but also really durable and reliable.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this connects back to our conversation about sustainability, right?
Oh, absolutely. If you can design a mold that lasts longer
mm-hmm.
and needs less maintenance,
yeah.
you're automatically reducing waste.
Right.
And lessening the impact on the environment.
Sustainability is becoming such a big part of design and manufacturing.
It really is.
And mold design is no different.
For sure. We're seeing more and more focus on using recycled materials.
Okay.
reducing energy use during production,
right,
and designing molds so they're easier to take apart and recycle at the end of their life.
So it's not just about building a better mold.
Right.
It's about building a smarter and more sustainable mold.
Yeah. One that's good for performance and the environment.
This is really exciting stuff.
It is.
It feels like the future of mold design is pretty bright.
Oh, absolutely. We're always pushing the limits of what's possible using new technology and materials to make molds that are better, more affordable, and more eco-friendly.
Well, that's a fantastic note to end on.
Yeah, I think so.
We've gone from the basics of material selection and channel design,
right,
all the way to the cutting edge advancements that are changing how molds are made.
It's been a really interesting journey.
And for our listeners, whether you're an experienced engineer or just starting to learn about manufacturing, there's always something new to discover.
Keep learning. Keep asking questions.
Stay curious.
Exactly.
And that concludes our deep dive for today.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed this exploration into the fascinating world of mold design.
Thanks for listening.